La 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 your needles and refuses to be categorized. Nice. Queens, babes, dolls, how are you all? Tell me everything. I need to know all the things. What's new? What's cracking? What's big? What's hard? What's bad? What's good? What's delicious? What's scrumptious? It's a Monday and I am on a spontaneous side quest. Tomorrow morning I am leaving on a jet plane to fly down to Sydney for the Osmompreneur National Conference, which is very exciting. I'm going to be speaking at that and attending it and going to their gala awards evening as well. And I haven't flown on a plane for maybe 5 years. I went to Tash Corbin's conference earlier this year, which was awesome, but it was near my house, so I didn't have to leave the house. I could just go home every night. It was only 10 minutes away. So that was easy, but I'm actually going to another state, guys. I haven't left this state in 5 years. And I haven't left my family overnight, except for Scorpio Fest, my birthdays, when I've gone away for a night or two nearby with friends. And it's always, you know, within like 30 minutes drive. So, it feels like a little bit closer. And it's so funny trying to leave the house as a parent, because it feels like this enormous amount of inertia to try and leave the house. And then I know once I break free of this gravitational cycle and pull of my family, I'll be like, whee! But just to get out is so freaking hilarious. And I'm not saying this in a way like, oh, my husband's incompetent and, you know, I've got to pre-cook all the food. At all. It's not like that at all. I'm not doing any of that shit. It's just the sheer amount of stuff that's happening at the moment. So, first and foremost, we have an elderly dog. She's 19, and she's becoming very high needs. My husband has been up all last night with her having explosive diarrhea, and it's a literal fucking shit show, and he is so exhausted, and the man is such a fucking caretaker. He really, really is, and he's just trying to get this dog through so that we don't have to worry, you know, like, we don't have to do the grief process with the kids while I'm away, you know, just like, if you just hold on just a little bit more, Angel, like, please. And he's absolutely exhausted. That darling man is just so exhausted. And then I've got a 13-year-old, and she's like, my kids are just gorgeous and divine. And, you know, there's little things that are just popping up. My daughter just came back from camp and she's not well, so she's home from school. And my other one is at school. And there's just like, there's meetings, there's medical stuff, there's just all the fucking things going on that we're kind of taking note on at the moment. And for me as a mum, I find that my work as a mum is more about kind of being the emotional hub. When the kids are littler, you know, in some ways it's quite physical, you know, breastfeeding, helping them get to sleep, cuddles, kisses, food preparation, getting them to eat, cleaning up all the mess from them eating, and, you know, the nappy changes, just, you know, just the relentless physicality of it. Like, you can't really sit still for very short periods of time because they'll just fall over and knock themselves or whatever, you know. And so now, you know, physically they kind of can take care of themselves. It's just the emotional stuff that needs help with. I mean, one's a tween and one's a teen, and holding space for that, and being a mama with them, and they really just need this energy at the moment. And you know, I'm up with them, you know, more nights than not, just talking through different things that's going on at the moment with them, in their little lives. And yeah, so usually, like, I've been away before when they were littler, and like they were like, oh, okay, and this time they're like, oh God, Jesus, how are we gonna go without mom? So it's like the emotional support aspect. So I know they'll be completely fine and they'll step up to the challenge and all that kind of stuff. It's just the sheer gravitational pull of my family. I'm going on a plane in less than 24 hours. Can I make it to the airport in time, or will calamity ensue? You know, like, just, it just feels like that at the moment. It's funny and annoying, and it just is, you know, it's life, it's all of that. So if God willing I can get on a plane, that'll be incredible. And then of course I haven't gone anywhere for all this time, and so I've gone to pack a bag and discovered, well, gone to pack the bag and discovered that the suitcase that we bought 10 years ago, the wheels don't work anymore. And I went to the shops on Saturday, bought a new one, brought it home, discovered that I had bought the size down from the usual suitcase I use, and I think, oh, that'll be fine. And then I go to pack my suitcase this morning. It is, in fact, not fine whatsoever. Like, I am not a minimalist, and I need options, and I need to take my own pillow, and I need to take my sensory blanket. I need all the fucking things, love. So Chris has sent me out on a mission to go buy another bag that is larger. And the kids will have the smaller bag for whenever we do start traveling. But then just like the sheer, like, oh God, I need clothes to wear to a conference, and I barely leave the house, and I mostly just hang out in pajamas. Holy shit. Like, fuck, I don't feel like an adult whatsoever. I don't feel like I have my life together. I don't feel like I instantly have a little wardrobe of clothes that I can just go, yeah, that'll work. That'll work completely. I do not. Kind of reminds me of, like, we lived in Caranda for years in Far North Queensland, and it was like in the rainforest and very tropical, and it's remote, and people don't really dress in a, like, they don't dress in a city way there. You know, it's remarkable if you wear thongs instead of bare feet. And you're just like, it's so sweaty and so humid and so rainy that, you know, it's a, if you've got clothes that don't have mold on it, like, you are sorted. You are sorted, love. And when we decided to leave Caranda and move to Tasmania, move to a cold climate, firstly, we had no closed-in shoes. We had nothing but thongs. And all of our clothes were, like, not cold weather clothes. They were, you know, the least we could wear. And the ones we had, like, they're very worn and torn from very, very tropical rainforest living, you know. And so we kind of had to kit ourselves out with a whole new wardrobe. We're like, oh, holy shit, we can't front up on a plane like this. We're going to look like rainforest hillbillies. And it's like, not quite at that level, but a little bit at that level, because, you know, I kind of like live a beachy lifestyle, and I'm going back to the city to a conference, and I don't real have shoes. I don't got no closed in shoes. I really don't. And I looked at the temperatures and I'm going down like, what, 2,000 kilometers south? It's going to be a different temperature. And the temperatures that I haven't been in 5 years. I'm like, fuck, what am I going to do? I hope it all just pulls together. And I'm supposed to be going to a gala with like evening wear and a cocktail event. What in the flying fuck? I think I've got this, like, I invested in a Camilla like caftan earlier this year, and I'm grateful for that because it's kind of classified as evening wear-ish in a hippie way, but it's not warm. It's not warm, and I don't have anything to make it warm. Why would I need warmth? I live in the tropics. Like, damn, girl. So it's a lot anyway. You know what? I have been thinking, right? And this has got nothing to do with fucking clothes or closed-in shoes or whatever. It's just a state of all affairs. But the whole life thing, I just think it's a little, like, just, it's a bit too much. It's a bit much. Like, it's always, like, it's not just, like, one thing that's going on, like, that needs working on, tweaking, improving. It's like, multiple things going on at the same time, like, multiple stresses. And you're like, excuse me. But that's a bit much, don't you think? That's, like, a little... Whoever is in charge of this programming, like, it's just too dramatic. It's not even dramatic. It's just relentless and dull amounts of stress to be a parent and to be in the world and to be trying to, like, I don't know, do the adulting thing. I'm just saying, it's not really, like, for me. If I'd invented this, I just feel like it would have been better. You know, like, I have some major recommendations on how to improve this whole process. Yeah, that's how I feel about that. That's my feedback on that front. Okay, what else? Ooh, books. Let's talk about books and movies. Oh my God, why not? So I've, like, gotten into a massive binge on reading celebrity female memoirs. And I think I might have already told you about the Jewel book. Pretty sure I did. Anyway, read Jewel's memoir, fucking loved it. Then read Tamara Mellon's memoir, and she's, like, the co-founder of Jimmy Choo. That was fascinating. It was, like, learning about so much about business and marketing and money and trust funds and, like, wealthy people. Like, oh, it was so good. It was gripping. It was actually fucking gripping. And then I went on and I read Minnie Driver's memoir called Managing Expectations. Fantastic. A really good writer. I feel like I have so much more of an insight into who she is as a human, like, just a very quirky questioner spirit. And so determined to do things her own way. And yeah, absolutely stunning. And then something just very lifey and sad happens at the end. And I finished reading it in the car park yesterday while I was going, before I went grocery shopping. And so I had to, like, try and keep it together so I wasn't just sobbing my whole way through the grocery store. So fucking great. Fucking great book. In terms of what I'm going to read next, I am not sure. I've downloaded a whole bunch of samples of more memoirs. I think I might try Martha Wainwright's memoir next. Ooh, that might be juicy. I am very excited though, because tomorrow, going to the airport, airports have airport bookstores. Fucking love that for me. So I'm just looking forward to getting myself a cheeky little book or three from an airport store, you know. That will be so cute of me. Yeah. So that's where I'm on the book front. I think I also told you about Red, White and Royal Blue. Very good. The F Word with Harry Potter falling in love with a girl that talks very fast with him. great. And then what else trash did I read over the weekend? I watched some trash over the weekend about Fate, which has got Julia Roberts' niece. And I know she's got a name of her own. And I think, good on you, doll, but I cannot remember it. It's just a basic bitch, like, white girl name. What is it? Emma? Emma? Look, lock it in. Emma Roberts. Emma Roberts, yes. Locked in. Kind of fascinating. But I also really like when there's sort of dorky boys in the male lead role. Just because, you know, that's my particular kink. Love a bit of a nerd. I think I watched some more. You know, I have been like Red, White, and Royal Blue because I liked it so much. I think I've watched it maybe 4 times now, because what I do is I just like speed through, speed watch it. Just the bits that I really like. Yeah, that's a good bit. That's a good bit. Oh, I watched this hilarious one last night. It was Where the Heart Is, some shit like that. And it was about, a travel writer who used to be in an Amish community, who goes back to the Amish community and falls back in love with the Amish boy that she left. And it's fascinating, especially since, like, I don't really know a huge amount about the Amish culture. I don't think they have any communities in Australia. But that was a different level of kind of Hallmark movie, if you know what I mean. I loved it. It's just nice just to have like just absolute trash for the brain. I don't know why I'm not reading trash books, because that's what I usually do. I think I'm just like trying out trash movies for a change is just a nice little fixation. I've also discovered that you can use IMDb like Goodreads, which is exciting. So I've been doing that and making a watch list of every single romantic comedy from the last 30 years that I haven't watched yet. So watch me go, guys. Plus, with the whole like reading memoirs at a pretty fast chop, I think I'm just like a little bit readed out. So I was like, all right, we'll just swap to watching trash on movies instead. So look at me, I've got my life planned out. Phone dropped once more. Good on me. Have I got anything else exciting to share with you? So I'm sure I've already told you. Maybe I'll just repeat it and you can forgive me, because I've got ADHD and you shouldn't be ableistic, okay? Ableist. But so at the moment I'm trying to work through my right hand girl, my number one assistant Zita had to take urgent leave. Totally cool, totally supportive, very happy to be able to offer that for her. And it also makes me think like, oh shit, I've got a massive hole in the business. Dear Eliza, when I don't have a Zita, I'm kind of heart-fucked. Because I can do everything myself and work it all out. It's just that my levels of production slow down because I have to do it all myself. So, just adding trying out some more VAs and adding in some more support on that front, which is exciting and useful, but also challenging because I'm supposed to be training these people and consistency is not my jam. Explaining things is also not my jam. Availability, not my jam. Zena is very good at all of that kind of stuff. That's why I was going to get her to train everybody. And in her presence, I make a very poor second-rate Zita. Look, know your strengths, guys. Just know your strengths. I know what I'm shit at. Fair bit. It's like a pretty big bit, actually. But there we are. And also, like, me and Zeta do, like, laugh about the fact that the training that Zeta can do and the management that she can do for VAs is just a whole other level compared to what I did to her when I hired her, which was my style of management is like, hey, so excited, welcome in, figure it out, babes. You got this. It's kind of the sink or swim approach to training. Luckily for me and for Zeta, she works really well in those conditions, which is great because I continue to be just like that on an ongoing basis. I'm trying not to be while I'm training new people because I do recognize that it is important to be better than that, but it's not what I'm usually gifted at. Okay, working very hard at trying to exhibit skills that I don't naturally have. Okay, so this time together, I'm sure we will work shit out and find awesome people that we can work with ongoing, which would be rad. And in the meantime, just hold on to what you've got. There's supposed to be 28 car parks, but I can't see them, and that's not okay for love. Just give me, oh, there's one. Okay, I gotta love you. Bye. Miss you already. Okay, I'm gonna hang up now because I'm gonna try and do some parking like a normal person parks their car. Oh, this dick hasn't managed to park very well. Not me, the person I'm parking beside. Uh-oh, what are we gonna do? We'll just squeeze nice and tight. Fuck, I'm good at this. I'm good at parking. I'm good at podcasting. What can't I do? Oh, that's right. Manage and train people consistently. thank God I'm hot. Okay. Love you. Bye.